Let us now open God's Word together. Let us first read a passage from the New Testament, John 3, before we get to the book of Jonah, John 3, verses 1 through 8, where Nicodemus the Pharisee visits the Lord Jesus, and where he tells him about the working of the Holy Spirit, comparing the Holy Spirit to the wind. This then is God's word to us. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And now let us turn to the minor prophet, Jonah. Last week I preached on the first three verses. Now we will do the rest of the chapter, but for the context we'll read the first three verses as well to remind us. Again, this is God's word. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And then comes the text. "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?' So he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?' For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. Beloved Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and brothers and sisters, Jonah, the prophet of the Lord, is about to go on a Mediterranean cruise, but not to go on a holiday. No, he is running away from his responsibilities. Instead of doing what the Lord wants from him, he wants to do his own thing. Rather than going to Nineveh, he books passage on a ship to Tarshish, and he expects smooth sailing all the way. He expects a favorable wind. Why do you think Jonah is escaping? As we know from 2 Kings 14, verse 25, Jonah is a respected and established prophet. Why is he now, in effect, resigning as a prophet of the Lord? Why doesn't he want to go to Nineveh, but instead in the opposite direction to a foreign country? What has possessed him to walk away from it all? Does he really think that he can escape from God and from his demands? Does he not know what God says in Psalm 139, where it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, below you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." And so Jonah should know better. He can't escape from God. However, it appears that Jonah is so set in his ways that he has been lulled to sleep. He is intent on going on the same track that he has always been on. But it's the wrong track, and he needs to wake up. And that's a warning for us too. Sometimes you and I, we are so set in our ways that we are oblivious to God's commands. And that we too need to be waken up to see what God really wants from us. That's what I will preach to you about this morning. The theme of the sermon is as follows. The Lord sends a storm to wake Jonah up from his deadly slumber. And we will look at three things. First place, being asleep. Second place, being awake. And finally, the third place, being a sacrifice. So then, being asleep. So I said, Jonah gets on the ship for Tarshish. It appears that the ship is not an exceptionally large one. It only has a small crew. Since we do not read about any other passengers, it is most likely that he is the only passenger on this ship. And so, it's surprising that they do not know the identity of Jonah. You would think that they would spend some time together and that they would mingle amongst each other and make some small talk, where they come from, where they're going, and so forth. But none of that happens. Jonah wants to stay on his own. He doesn't associate with them or mingle with them. It appears that Jonah does not consider these heathen men worthy of his attention. And he does not want to draw attention to himself either. And so instead he goes below decks and settles down for a nice little nap. He wants nothing to do with the others on the ship. And that's understandable. He's escaping. And it's not always easy to talk to strangers, is it? Especially if you don't think that you have anything in common. I think Most of us are like that. Strangers make us feel uncomfortable, especially if we see them as totally different from us, as greater sinners than us. We look down on them. But by not engaging them, we miss an opportunity to show ourselves to be children of God, image bearers. For by nature, we are not any better than anybody else. And it's a lesson that we have to learn time and again. Me too. Once I was on a ferry boat with a colleague of mine, and close to where we and our wives were sitting, there was a young man who looked like a drug addict. He had long hair, tattoos, and earrings. He was slovenly dressed. Nevertheless, my colleague struck up a conversation with him. And this young man was eager to talk, and he turned out to be a good and friendly conversationalist. And he even began to share some of his difficult background and situation. We made a connection. And I learned a lesson in kindness and in having a non-judgmental attitude towards others. Let's face it. We are not any more deserving of God's grace than anyone else, as we are all sinful people. And as David says in Psalm 14, verse 3, there is none who does good, no, not one. They have all turned aside. They have all together become corrupt. That refers to all of us. And now think about how Jesus treated others. If there's anybody that could look down on others, it would be He. For He was without sin. He is superior in every respect. Yet He treated others with kindness and respect and with love. But Jonah had a problem with sinners. Big problems. But the thing is, he didn't have any problems with himself. He didn't see the depth of his own depravity. He was asleep. He was comfortable in his own skin. He hated all foreigners because he thought that God hated them as well. And he especially hated the Ninevites and all the others that lived in the country of Assyria. Oh, sure. The Assyrians, they were a cruel people. You could compare them to modern nations such as the Iranian regime or the Taliban in Afghanistan or even ISIS. These were cruel people without mercy. They would do anything to keep power. And they ruled with an iron fist and wreaked havoc with any people or nation that stood in their way. Jonah, as a native of Israel, felt the same as his compatriots, namely superior to those other nations. And at this time, Israel is prospering, with secure borders and everything outwardly doing well. Yet, the sad reality is that there was something seriously wrong with the spiritual condition of this nation. In reality, Israel was not any better than Assyria. And that is why, within another 40 years after this prophecy, Israel, the northern kingdom, and all 10 tribes of them will be sent into exile and absorbed into the other heathen nations. Only a few of them will return. And this book of Jonah is given as a warning, as a last warning to Israel to repent from her sins, from their smug self-satisfaction, from their self-righteous attitude, as if they're better than others, as if they're not in need of repentance, of redemption. Oh, sure, Jonah is sent to Nineveh, the capital city of the wicked Assyrians, to call for their repentance, but the message is ultimately meant for Israel. It's a last wake-up call. The Lord does not want to leave Jonah, who is a representative of God's people, in his blind state of mind. Jonah's ordeal serves as a warning to all of God's people, those in Assyria, but also those in Israel. And so what does the Lord God do? Well, he sends him a great wind, as the text says. The Lord God is going to shake him out of his sleep, literally and figuratively. It was such a mighty tempest that the ship was threatening to break up. And God makes himself known in the wind to Jonah, to that child of God who is trying to run away from his heavenly father. Brothers and sisters, that's how God deals with his people, with all of us. He sends us a wind when we need to be woken up from our deadly sleep. The passage that we read from John 3, the Holy Spirit, is compared to the wind. The wind is the breath of God. And the wind blows wherever God wishes it to blow. And the wind can destroy, but also give life. The Lord God uses the wind, and he uses the Holy Spirit to wake us up so that we can be fully alive in the land of the living. And that's what Pentecost is about. Perhaps some of us are asleep right now, even though you have your eyes open. Asleep to our own sins, aimlessly sleepwalking on the wrong track. It happens. It happens in certain periods in our time, certain periods in our lives. And then we need to wake up. And that has to happen time and again. We have to let God's Holy Spirit search us, our hearts, to see if there's any wicked way in us, as it says in Psalm 139. Self-examination, constant self-examination, is an important part of being a Christian. And so, let's ask ourselves, what are the sins that I am blind to right now, the sins in my life? For example, is my heart full of envy and resentment or hatred even to others? Do I feel so much smug about the kind of person that I am? Brothers and sisters, are you able to see the faults of others, children, your parents, your sister, your brother, some of the people in the church, your boss? Are you able to see their faults but not your own? Perhaps you think that all would be well with the world if everybody was a little bit more like me. Are you blind and asleep to your own need for salvation? Is there perhaps a storm blowing all around you, but you don't realize that it is meant for you to bring you to your knees before God? For you see, the wind of God can take on many forms. Could be that right now you have a rocky marriage, or that you're having difficulties with your children, or with your parents, or with the church, and you blame others. Or perhaps your finances are in shambles, and you're afraid that you're about to lose everything. But you blame your problems on other people, on the coronavirus, on your specific circumstances, without realizing that whatever ill wind the Lord sends our way, he does that to shake us up and to bring us on our knees before him, to have us repent from our sins and to teach us to trust in him. The Lord wants to use these things to wake you and me up and to bring us to our senses. He wants us to constantly examine our lives in the light of His Word and Spirit. If you are about to lose your earthly possessions, or if you are experiencing ill health, the Lord uses these things to test our faith. Are you standing the test? Or are you sound asleep through all this? Well, wake up. Experience the power of the Lord God and His Holy Spirit. See God's hand in all these things. Understand that whatever adversity comes your way, He wants to use it for our good. For God has a way of confronting you and me, just like He confronted Jonah with a great tempest, a great storm. Jonah is sound asleep. He's dead to the world, spiritually and physically. He does not reckon with God. And so he is oblivious to the dangers around him. Is it not amazing that Jonah can sleep so soundly at a time like this? Momentous things are happening all around him, yet he is completely unaware of it all. How could that be? The interesting thing is that as the storm continues, the Lord uses the pagan sailors to wake up Jonah, not only from his physical sleep, but also from his spiritual sleep. It's the second point. First, however, these men call upon the gods that they know. These were heathen men. And the people in those days believed in three kinds of gods. You had your personal god, whom you would worship in connection with individual concerns. You had family gods, worshipped by all the members of the clan. And you had national gods, worshipped as the guardians and motivators of an entire nation. When the captain urges Jonah to call on his god, he presumes that Jonah, a stranger, is bound to have a god different from the other ones on board. And since Jonah was not one of their number, he might just provide them with the right God, which the crisis calls for. The Lord God, Yahweh in Hebrew, the maker of heaven and earth, now makes His presence known to these pagan men. The crew of the ship can pray for their own gods all they want, but those gods will never answer. Those gods are deaf and dumb. These sailors do not know the God of creation, the true God. They do not know Him because they do not God's word. Jonah should not have been asleep. And Jonah should have been there to point out to these heathens that his God, the creator of heaven and earth, and He only is in control of all things. But Jonah is not prepared to talk to them about his God. He doesn't want to bother. He is content to stay within his own little corner of the ship. And so the heathens pray while the prophet of the Lord is asleep. But these prayers of the crew do not make the storm stop. Of course not. They even throw overboard any unnecessary baggage. Slowly but surely they realize that they are fighting a losing battle. And Jonah should have been the one to tell them to whom they should pray. But Jonah acted as if God does not exist. Jonah even goes so far as to hide his identity. And even when he is abruptly awakened by the captain of the ship, Jonah still does not tell him who he is. Aren't we a lot like Jonah? How often does it not happen that we do not speak up when we should? It even happens that the people with whom we come into daily contact are barely aware that we are Christians. Oh, sure, they know we go to church and all that, but that's about it. And yet, brothers and sisters, we are the only ones who have the answers to the questions that the world is asking. For we have God's word to guide us. We know where history is headed. We know why the plagues and natural disasters and viral pandemics occur. God has given us His Holy Spirit to enlighten us. His Word and Spirit work together. It's only through the Holy Spirit that you can know these things. Jonah knew what was going on. He knew who was behind that wind. He knew it was God. And he knew, once he was awake, that God was angry. Angry at him because of his abrogating his responsibility as a messenger from God. But Jonah still keeps quiet while the sailors do everything they know in order to calm the sea. In the end, they cast lots to see who or what may be at the root of the problem. That's the way of the world. When unbelievers are confused about what is happening around them, they will clutch at straws and even rely on chance to help them make sense of it all. Isn't that the way it is today as well? The world tries to make sense out of things by going to astrologers and psychics. The world is looking for answers. Marriages fall apart. Financial empires crumble. The youth rebel, as we see in the U.S. right now, with gangs roaming the street, wreaking havoc. And COVID-19 makes its presence known. Homes are destroyed by hurricanes and earthquakes. And then the people wonder aloud why this is happening to them. And they look for solutions within themselves. They wonder why such calamities and disturbances occur. But they don't have to look too far. For the Lord God, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, is doing that. He gives, but He also takes away. He does not want us to put our trust in lottery tickets or in the stars or the astrologers or psychics. No, God wants us to go to Him. He wants us to rely on Him. He wants every man and woman to repent from their sins. And we're the ones who are supposed to point these things out. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we must be an example in this world. If anyone is looking for answers, if they want to make some sense out of their lives, then they must turn to the one who has the answers. The answer can only be found with God. Only He can allay our fears. Only He can still the ill winds that life can bring us. Everyone has to learn that everything is in God's hands. And if things go wrong in their lives, we must experience and examine ourselves and lead lives of repentance. For some people, it takes quite a bit to bring them to their knees. If indeed that happens at all. A lot has to happen before they bend to God's will. And that's certainly true of Jonah. And God uses the world in order to bring that about. For these sailors cast their lots, relying on chance. But the Lord uses the lot to bring about the truth. As it says in Proverbs 16, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. The lot falls on Jonah. And now Jonah can no longer remain quiet. He has to identify himself. Jonah knew the answer all along. He knew that he was the cause of all the fuss. This is very humiliating that he had to come to that point. The sailors, the world, they have to point to Jonah. Ultimately to the church as the cause of the storm. The world has to wake up the church. That sometimes happens. But don't think that it happened only at that time. Also, today, it happens that the world has to wake up the church from her spiritual slumber. An unbeliever is amazed when he sees us in trouble, and we are full of anxiety and despair. Don't you have a God that you believe in? They ask. The world knows who we claim to be, but often they do not see that in the way that we conduct ourselves. They see us just as fearful as the rest of the world. They think, I thought they believe in a God who would rescue them. So much for their faith, so much for their God. Brothers and sisters, the church, that is you and I, is put on earth to hand out the riches of the gospel. It's an awesome but beautiful responsibility. As soon as Jonah identifies himself, there is a remarkable change in the sailors. Whereas at first, when the sailors encountered the storm, we are told that they were afraid. And now the text tells us that they are exceedingly afraid. Terrified. At first they were afraid only because the ship was rocking. Now they are afraid not because of the wind, but because of the power behind the wind. They wake up to the fact that there is a living God out there. The God of creation. And they realize that they cannot stand up to such a power. Oh, they try, and they row against the wind, but they don't succeed. No one can stand up to the power of God. And that is the message that Jonah should have been given them in the first place. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, what about the storms in your life? When they come, do you then try to row against the wind in your own strength? Well, you're not going to get anywhere. You will never make it to shore. God needs to have the reins. You have to give Him the reins in your life. Don't think that you can save yourself by your own strength. That is what the world thinks. That's not for us. Don't just confess Him with your lips. But also put your trust in Him. When the sailors began to question Him, Jonah did nothing more than just speak about his God. And that is because he was only serving Him outwardly still at this point. That is clear from the way he answers the sailors. He says, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Whereas earlier in the chapter, the word for God, Elohim, was used, which is the word that the heathens used for their gods. But now Jonah uses God's special covenant name, Yahweh. Jonah is forced to admit that the God who made a covenant with him and the rest of Israel, He is the one who does this. Jonah has to confess at this point that not only his life, but also the lives of the heathen sailors are in the hands of God, the God who made heaven and earth and all that is in them, that their lives are totally at His disposal. And that is the message that not only the heathens have to receive, but also Jonah and the rest of Israel. Jonah knows the game is up. The storm is worsening. We come to the third point. He can no longer remain on board. He must sacrifice himself and allow himself to be thrown into the raging sea. But brothers and sisters, it's doubtful that Jonah does this because he loves these sailors. No, those sailors themselves show more love to Jonah than he does to them. In that respect, the sailors are an example to him. They do everything humanly possible to keep him alive, For even after they are told, the only solution is to throw Jonah overboard, they still try to see if they can spare his life. Only once it is absolutely clear to them that they have no other choice, do they throw him overboard. Jonah allows himself to be thrown overboard because he has no other choice either. For he knows, one way or the other, I'm going to die. But don't think that Jonah has learned his lesson yet at this point. He's a tough nut to crack. More has to happen for him to come to his senses. He has a lot more to learn. And that's often the way the Lord works, especially with stubborn people. He brings us to a crisis in our lives where we are put before a clear choice. God or the world. The truth or the lie. Your eternal riches or your earthly riches. Life or death. And brothers and sisters, that is the point that God wants to bring all of us in our lives. He wants to bring us to the point where we are willing to let go of all that we have here on earth, even our own very lives. Sometimes the Lord strips us naked so that nothing in this life weighs us down anymore, so that we can go to Him with empty hands, which is what we have to do at all times. And only once we do that, brothers and sisters, can we also truly enjoy this life. Because once you give everything over to God, and once that is no longer number one in your life, then you are free from the tyranny of your possessions. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 30 through 33, in reference to the wife of Lot, whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. God sends us the storms in our lives so that we may realize that we must go to Him. Only He can save us. And once you do that, only then can you be at peace. And then the storms around us are nothing more than tempests in a teapot. For then you realize that whatever is wrong in your own life is not due to everybody else, but due to your own sin in the first place. Sin came into the world because of me, because of all of us. We all sin. We all stand condemned before Him. That is why He sent us His Son to save us from our sins. Isn't that something to be thankful for and to embrace? To proclaim from the rooftops? Isn't that something to be joyful for? Isn't that something you would want to share? God forced Jonah to be humbled, humiliated in front of the sailors. At that point, you had to acknowledge the God of Jonah, that He is the one who is in control of all things. It doesn't say whether or not these sailors came to true repentance. Seems that way, but for they made, they sacrificed to the Lord and they made vows. But did they do that only because they saw the power of the Lord and not their need for redemption because of their sins? We don't know whether or not they came to that depth. It doesn't matter. We do know that they saw the greatness of God. And they gave God the glory. They were forced to give thanks to Him. So, let me ask you, do you see the greatness and power of God also today? Do you also humble yourself before Him? Or do you need an ill wind to wake you up? Humble yourself before God. Thank Him for salvation. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. He is the God of renewal, of purity, and peace. give thanks to Him. Amen.